السلام علیکم اسٹوڈنٹس، آپ کو منسٹری آف سائنس اینڈ ٹیکنالوجی پاکستان، ورچوئل یونیورسٹی اور مبشر ہمایوں کی طرف سے خوش آمدید. ٹوڈیز لیکچر ول بی اے کنٹینیویشن آف دی سبجیکٹ دیٹ وی اسٹارٹڈ اے کپل آف لیکچرز بیک، وچ از رسک. ون آف دی ایزیسٹ ویز آف انڈرسٹینڈنگ دی کیلکولیشن آف رسک یوزنگ پروبیبلٹی is by understanding the elements of chance that are embedded in the game of cards. Everybody plays cards, and the fundamentals of probability and counting principle and so on are very easily understood using these concepts from card games. We are going to talk today about the calculation of risk and return using probability. Before I start with the new material for this course, let me recap some of the concepts and formulas that we have already studied in the previous lectures. We started the subject of risk and return by saying that the objective in investment is to maximize the return and to minimize the risk. What causes risk? Well, risk is caused by the distribution or uncertainty in the possible number of outcomes that can take place. مثال کے طور پہ اگر کسی بھی چیز کی آؤٹ کم یا نتیجہ فکس نہیں ہے تو وہاں پہ ایک ایلیمنٹ آف رسک شامل ہو جاتے ہیں. When we talk about investing in the stock or a particular share and we want to forecast the price of this share after one year, then there might be several different possible prices that this share can reach after one year. And with each one of these possible prices, you can associate a certain probability of that price actually taking place. Once you have associated a particular probability with a particular outcome, then you are in a position to calculate the expected return. And the formula for expected return was simply the weighted average, which is equal to the sum of the products of the individual probability of that outcome multiplied by the individual rate of return for that outcome. And we will do another example numerically so that you can better understand what I am talking about. Similarly, when we spoke about risk, we mentioned that you can understand risk in terms of a spread or an uncertainty, and we can measure this using the probability concepts of variance or standard deviation. Standard deviation is simply the square root of the variance, and the standard deviation is equal to the square root of the difference in the actual individual rate of return for a particular outcome minus the expected mean rate of return squared multiplied by the probability of that outcome taking place. Now, the important thing to understand is that in calculating the standard deviation, we are going to rely on the simplest probability distribution, which is known as the bell curve or the normal probability distribution. The advantage that we gain from this assumption is that after calculating the standard deviation for any particular investment, we have an idea of what the distribution or the spread of possible outcomes or what the distribution of possible returns or prices is going to be like. Not just that, if we assume the normal probability distribution model, then we can be sure that 68.26% of the times, the actual outcome will lie somewhere between the minus 1 and the plus 1 standard deviation on either side of the expected mean. And the last time we saw a graph to explain this concept. Now, just a final note regarding the material we have covered. We mentioned that you need to take a look at risk and return at the same time. And one very, very useful ratio that we take a look at is the coefficient of variation. And that is defined as the standard deviation divided by the expected mean rate of return. You can compare investments using the coefficient of variation, and this will allow you to consider both the return as well as the risk simultaneously. Now, in this lecture, we're going to talk about portfolio risk. Before this, we have been talking about standalone risk for single investments. But now we are going to talk about a collection of investments, or in other words, many investments. What we also call a basket of investments. This is known as a portfolio. And most corporations and individuals maintain a large collection of investments or a portfolio of investments. And when we talk about risk and return, then we have to consider the overall risk and the overall return of the entire portfolio. Now, this is illogical, a kind of a fact, because when you talk about one business that is earning you 1 lakh rupees a month, then it is not enough to just look at this one business if you're also running another business that is losing you 2 lakh rupees a month. You have to look at all of the businesses that you are involved in, and you have to look at the overall rate of return that you're generating. Similarly, if you're investing in stocks or bonds, then you need to look at the overall risk and return of the portfolio. The important thing to understand is that the individual risk associated with one particular share of company ABC will change if you are investing in that share after you already have a portfolio of many other stocks. This is the important concept to understand. That if you already have a large number of investments that you have made, and then if you invest in a particular share of company ABC, then the risk impact on you will be different. And I'll explain why in a minute. The important thing to understand is that as you add more and more investments to the portfolio, your risk generally decreases. So the level of risk generally drops as the size of your portfolio increases. And we will take a closer look at this relationship in a little while. So when we are talking about a portfolio of many investments, then the objective becomes to maximize the overall return of the portfolio and to minimize the overall risk of the portfolio. When we are maintaining a portfolio of many investments, then we need to ask ourselves that when we invest in a new stock or in a new bond, then what is the incremental risk contribution of that stock to the existing portfolio? And the important thing to understand is what the marginal or the incremental contribution of a particular share or bond is going to be on the existing portfolio. جس سے پہلے کہ ہم پورٹ فولیو رسک کیلکولیشن میں جائیں کچھ کانسیپٹس سمجھنے ضروری ہیں. When we talk about the uncertainty or risk associated with any stock, then we can categorize the risk into two types. One is the diversifiable or specific risk, and the other one is the market or systematic risk. Let me explain. What we are saying is that the total risk of any stock or share is equal to the diversifiable risk plus the market risk. What do we mean by diversifiable risk? Diversifiable risk is also known as company-specific risk or unique risk or non-systematic risk. اس کے معنی یہ ہوئے کہ وہ رسک جو کسی بھی ایک کمپنی تک محدود ہے وہ diversifiable risk کہلائے گی یا company-specific risk جس کا صرف اس کمپنی کو سامنا کرنا ہو. Diversifiable risk is caused by random events taking place. For example, a random event in the life of a company can be a lawsuit or a legal claim. Another random event can be the winning of a large sales contract. Another example of a random event might be a very successful marketing program. And you can also talk about subjective or soft random events such as the retirement or resignation of a very, very charismatic chief executive officer. These are all random events. They are not necessarily planned, and they can take place at any time spontaneously. So this is known as the company-specific risk. And what we are saying is that this kind of risk can be reduced or even eliminated by means of diversification. In other words, this company-specific risk or this unique risk can be eliminated if you increase the number of investments in the portfolio. By expanding the number of investments, you can make sure that all of the good or positive random events are offset by the negative random events. So they will cancel each other out. If you have enough investments, then the negative effects will be cancelled by the positive effects of some other investments, and so on. So the net effect is almost zero. And this is what we mean by reducing or eliminating the company-specific risk. it's possible to do this through diversification. Now, let's talk about market risk. Market risk is different. Market risk is also known as non-diversifiable risk, or systematic risk, or beta risk. This risk is caused by large-scale events, such as the macroeconomy, or the general market interest rates, or the inflation in a particular country, or by the socio-political events or upheavals in a country, or even in the event of war. And these are factors that will affect almost every single share in the same manner. So what we are saying is that market risk is something that affects almost all of our investments in the same way. And so it is impossible to reduce, and certainly it is impossible to eliminate it entirely. So market risk is a kind of risk that we are not able to reduce by means of diversification. If you take a look at the graph that I have shown in the slide, then you will see the results of experimental studies that have been carried out to correlate the level of risk to the number of investments that you make. So if you take a look at the portfolio size versus risk graph, you will note that the portfolio risk, or sigma sub p, decreases continuously as the number of investments or the number of stocks in the portfolio increase. In fact, it has been experimentally determined that if you invest in about 40 or 40 uncorrelated stocks, then you can virtually eliminate the unique or specific portion of the risk. And on the graph, you can see that the unique portion of the risk is that segment that lies above the dotted line. However, the market or systematic risk or beta risk cannot be eliminated. And this is the limit or the asymptote that the portfolio risk curve approaches as the number of investments increase. If you don't have the money to invest in 40 different kinds of stocks, then investing in only 7 different stocks will give you a good amount of insurance against unique risk. So, being able to invest in as few as 7 uncorrelated different stocks of different companies across different industries will allow you to eliminate, or if not eliminate, then at least reduce a good portion of the company-specific risk. What we are left with in a fully diversified portfolio where you have eliminated all of the specific risk is the market risk. So if you have a portfolio of 40 different kinds of stocks in different industries and stocks that are not correlated to each other, in other words, stocks that do not move together, then it is possible to virtually eliminate the specific or unique risk. تو آئیے اب پورٹ فولیو ریٹ آف ریٹرن کے بارے میں بات کرتے ہیں. جیسے کہ ہم نے سنگل شیئر یا اسٹاک کی ایکسپیکٹڈ ریٹ آف ریٹرن کیلکولیٹ کی تھی, ویسے ہی ہم پورٹ فولیو کی ریٹ آف ریٹرن کیلکولیٹ کر سکتے ہیں. فارمولا بھی ملتا جلتا ہے لیکن اس کی کنسپچل انٹرپریٹیشن جو ہے وہ فرق ہے. دی ایکسپیکٹڈ ریٹرن آف اے پورٹ فولیو از ایکول ٹو دی ویٹڈ ایوریج آف دی انڈیویجل ریٹرنس آف ایچ انویسٹمنٹ ان دا پورٹ فولیو. اینڈ دی فارمولا از ویری اسٹریٹ فارورڈ. دی ایکسپیکٹڈ ریٹرن آن دا پورٹ فولیو از ایکل ٹو آر سب بی اسٹار, اینڈ دیٹ از ایکل ٹو ایکس ون آر ون پلس ایکس ٹو آر ٹو پلس ایکس تھری آر تھری اینڈ سو آن آل دا وے اپ ٹو ایکس این آر این. ہیئر این ریپرزینٹس دی ٹوٹل نمبر آف انویسٹمنٹس ان دا پورٹ فولیو. سو فار ایگزامپل ایکس ون ریپرزینٹس دی ویٹ اور دی فریکشن آف دی ٹوٹل ویلو آف دی پورٹ فولیو دیٹ از ریپرزینٹڈ بائی دی ویلو آف دی فرسٹ انویسٹمنٹ. سملرلی آر سب ون ریپرزینٹس دی ریٹ آف ریٹرن ان پرسینٹیج ٹرمز فار دی فرسٹ انویسٹمنٹ الون. Now, let's do a simple numerical example that will demonstrate how we can calculate the expected rate of return for a portfolio of two stocks. Suppose that you hold a portfolio of two stock investments, stock A and stock B. The value of the investment in stock A is 30 rupees. The expected individual return on stock A is 20% based on the analysis of historical data. For stock B, the value of the investment that you have made in stock B is 70 rupees, and the expected rate of return on stock B is 10%. So the total value of your investment is 100 rupees. The expected portfolio rate of return is as follows. R sub B star is equal to RAXA plus RBXB. That is equal to 20% multiplied by 30 divided by 100 plus 10% multiplied by 70 divided by 100. And that is equal to 13%. Please note that the X values have been calculated based on the value of the individual investment divided by the total value. So, calculating the expected rate of return for a portfolio is a very, very simple and straightforward exercise of calculating the simple weighted average of the returns for each and every investment in the portfolio. However, the easy part is now over. The difficult part, relatively speaking, is the calculation of the standard deviation or the risk of the portfolio. Now here you cannot use the simple weighted average. Why? Because there is an effect that one investment has on the risk of another investment. We mentioned that when we talk about a portfolio or a collection of many investments, then the level of risk generally decreases as the number of investments increase. And the reason for that is that the random risk, which is represented by the unique or company-specific risk, is cancelled out across the different investments. In other words, the positive random risk for a particular share might be cancelled or offset by the negative random risk in some other investment. So the net level of company-specific risk cancels out. Now, when we talk about calculating the risk or the standard deviation of a portfolio of two stocks, then this concept that I've just explained to you can be better understood. So let us take a look at the formula for calculating the risk or standard deviation for a portfolio of two stocks. The risk or standard deviation for the portfolio is equal to sigma p, which is equal to the square root of xa squared sigma a squared plus xb squared sigma b squared plus 2 multiplied by xa xb sigma a sigma b and rho ab. So let me now explain the terms because it is important to understand them. XA represents the fraction or the weight of investment A in the total value of the portfolio. This is defined in the same way that we defined it for calculating the expected return on the portfolio. Sigma A is the individual risk associated with investment A. In other words, it is the standard deviation of the returns for investment A. Rho AB is the correlation coefficient that measures the degree of correlation in the returns of the two investments A and B. In other words, how closely do the returns of investment A and B move together? Now, this is a relatively messy formula, so please try to keep the terms for each variable clear in your head. We will try to understand the portfolio risk for a two-stock investment better by doing a numerical example right now. So let us take a look at the same example that we looked at for calculating the portfolio return. And this time we will add data regarding the standard deviation and the correlation coefficient. So, looking at the data once again, for stock A, the value of the investment is 30 rupees, the expected return is 20%, and the risk or standard deviation of the returns for stock A is equal to 20%. For stock B, the value of the investment is 70 rupees, the expected return is 10%, and the risk or standard deviation is 5%. The correlation coefficient, or rho, AB, is equal to plus 0.6. This information has been provided to you. So now we can calculate the portfolio risk. Sigma P is equal to the square root of XA squared sigma A squared plus XB squared sigma B squared plus 2 multiplied by XA XB sigma A sigma B rho AB. If you insert all of the correct values for the respective variables and parameters in this equation, then you will come up with an answer which is equal to 0.0857, which is equal to 8.57%. Now, what does this 8.57% mean? Its interpretation is identical to the way we understood standard deviation when we were talking in the previous lectures about standalone or individual investment in single shares. So, in the case of our portfolio, a standard deviation of 8.57% means that there is a 68.26% chance that the actual rate of return on our portfolio will be between 13 minus 8.57% and 13 plus 8.57%. So in other words, the standard deviation gives us the limits for the range, and if we apply the normal probability distribution or the bell curve, then we can come up with a conclusion that approximately 2/3 of the times the expected rate of return will lie somewhere between the minus 1 and the plus 1 standard deviation values. I should mention before we go any further that the correlation coefficient is something that you should review from your book on probability and statistics. Quite simply speaking, when any two shares, A and B, have a correlation coefficient of plus 1, that means that their prices or their rate of returns move together exactly. If the correlation coefficient between two stocks is equal to 0, it means that the two shares are not correlated at all. And if you visualize this on a graph, then you would see a scatter of points randomly distributed across the graph, and you would not be able to draw a line through that scatter of points in the case of the correlation coefficient being 0. If the correlation coefficient is equal to minus 1, it means that the two shares are exactly negatively correlated, which means that if the rate of return of a share goes up by 10%, then the rate of return of the other share will go down by the same amount, 10%. So kindly review your understanding of correlation coefficients and computation of standard deviations and means from your previous course in probability and statistics. Now, let's come back to the exercise that we were doing, which was to calculate the combination of risk and return for our portfolio, which had 30% stock A and 70% stock B. You will recall that we had invested 30 rupees out of 100 in stock A and 70 rupees out of 100 in stock B. So we have managed to calculate one combination of risk and return for this particular weightage of stocks A and B in the ratio 30% to 70%. Now, if we calculate the risk and return combinations for other portfolio mixes in which we change the relative weightage of stock A and stock B, for example, if we calculate the risk and return in the case of 10% investment in stock A and 90% investment in stock B, then we will come up with different values. Similarly, if we calculate the risk and return for 50% investment in stock A and 50% investment in stock B, then we will come up with yet another pair of different values for risk and return. So the point is that we should take a look at all of the different combinations for different mixes of the portfolio, different percentages of stock A and different percentages of stock B, and see what kind of expected returns and risks we have associated with each one of them. If you take a look at the slide, then you will see a graph of all the different combinations of risk and return for this particular portfolio. The risk versus return graph for the two-stock portfolio of stock A and B with a positive correlation of plus 0.6 has been shown to you. Portfolio return or RP star is on the y-axis, and sigma P, the standard deviation or risk for the portfolio, is on the x-axis. And the main point to note is that as the level of risk for the portfolio increases, the required return also increases. You can see the exact numerical values that have been plotted on this graph, and as an exercise, you can also calculate them on your own. So this should not be a surprise to you at all, because this is simply a restatement of what we have been saying all along, which is that when an investor takes on extra risk, then he also expects to get extra return. In other words, as the level of risk for an investment goes up, the required and the expected return on that investment also goes up, because the investor wants to be compensated for taking on the extra risk. And going back to what I mentioned at the start of this lecture, when you talk about card games, then of course the expected return that you expect either in card games or in other forms of gambling which are forbidden is directly proportional to the level of risk that you are taking. And of course, the level of risk means that your returns are multiplied, and of course your losses are also multiplied. At this point, I will close the new material for this particular lecture, and let me go over some of the points that we have spoken about. We began talking about portfolio risk, and we mentioned that a portfolio is a collection of many different investments. And I said that when you change your focus from looking at the risk and return of one share to looking at the risk and return for a collection of different shares and stocks, then your perspective and your concepts change. And the reason for that is primarily because of the way that you understand and calculate risk. The most important point to understand is that as the number of uncorrelated or different investments go up, the overall risk comes down. And we will talk in later lectures more about this particular concept as well as others, for which two very famous economists won the Nobel Prize in 1990, Harry Markowitz and Bill Sharpe, for their model which is known as capital asset pricing model. I also mentioned that there have been experimental studies that have shown that if you invest in 40 uncorrelated and different stocks from different industries and different companies, then it is possible to virtually entirely eliminate the company-specific or unique portion of the risk. In fact, if you are not able to diversify across so many stocks, but even if you can diversify across 7 different stocks, then you can successfully reduce the level of company-specific risk. I mentioned that stock risk in general is equal to the company-specific risk plus the market risk. And we talked about company-specific risk as risk that is caused by random events in the life of a particular company. And we mentioned that it is possible to reduce or eliminate this company-specific risk because if you invest in many different stocks or many different companies' investments, then the negative random events that affect one particular company will be offset or cancelled out by the positive random events that affect other companies. So the net effect will be zero, and you will be able to greatly reduce the company-specific portion of the risk for your portfolio. We mentioned that market risk is also known as systematic or non-diversifiable or beta risk. And market risk is not diversifiable because this is risk that is affecting an entire country or the entire world. This risk is caused by macroeconomic variables such as inflation and interest rate, and possibly because of socio-economic and socio-political events, and possibly war. So these are factors that will affect virtually all of the investments, and they will affect almost all of the stocks in the same way. And therefore, there is no possibility of netting off or cancelling out in the case of market risk, and the market risk remains the bare minimum amount of risk that we have to accept in our portfolio. We defined the formulas for the expected rate of return on a portfolio. Quite simply, it is the weighted average of the individual investments and their returns. R sub P star is equal to X1, R1 plus X2, R2 plus X3, R3, and so on. And here, X represents the fraction of the investment that is in one particular stock divided by the total investment in the portfolio. And R represents the rate of return for a particular investment. We then defined the formula for the standard deviation or the risk of a portfolio. And we mentioned that you have to be careful because although there is a direct proportion relationship in terms of the rate of return, when we are talking about the portfolio risk, then generally speaking, you cannot use the simple weighted average formula. The portfolio risk or standard deviation is equal to the square root of the portfolio variance, which is equal to the square root of x a squared sigma a squared plus x b squared sigma b squared plus 2 multiplied by x a x b sigma a sigma b rho a b. And it is important for you to understand each one of these terms, particularly rho a b, which is equal to the correlation coefficient, which represents the extent or the degree to which the two stocks and their prices and their returns move together. That is what the correlation coefficient is measuring. Finally, we spoke about the standard deviation or portfolio risk, sigma p, and that is equal to the square root of the portfolio variance. That is equal to the square root of xa squared sigma a squared plus xb squared sigma b squared plus 2 multiplied by xa xb sigma a sigma b rho ab. And it's important for you to please refresh the terms from statistics. Rho ab represents the correlation coefficient, which measures the degree to which the returns or the prices of the two stocks A and B move together with each other. So a correlation coefficient of plus 1 means that they move exactly in tandem. In other words, if the return or the price of stock A goes up by 10%, then the return or price of stock B will also go up by 10%. Finally, we came up with the conclusion graphically that as the level of risk in the portfolio goes up, so too the required return on the portfolio goes up as well. So this is something which is not new to us, because as I have been mentioning throughout, that the investors will not take any extra additional risk unless they are compensated by additional return. So with this, I close this particular lecture on the introduction and the basics of portfolio risk and return. We will continue our discussion in the following lectures. We will study portfolio risk and efficient frontiers in more detail. For now, I would like to thank you on behalf of the Ministry of Science and Technology and the Virtual University of Pakistan. Aapko Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se bahut bahut shukriya. Khuda hafiz aur assalamu alaikum.